Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, we live in a wonderful world that God has made for us. We go outside, we look around, we see the sunshine and the trees and the birds and all that good stuff. And we feel really blessed and we can see the way that God influences our lives. But then we also realize that there's going to be bad things in this world. We go inside and we turn on the news and we see murders and robberies, floods and fires, and terrible things going on. And even if we don't have struggles on that scale, we still may deal with financial burdens, or have family members dealing with sickness, or have emotional or spiritual burdens. And even if we don't have those, have you guys just ever had one of those really hard days? You know, one of those days you wake up and your hair won't lay down right, and you go to work and the car breaks down, and you forgot your lunch at home, and then you head home and you burn dinner, and you're crawling into bed and you stub your toe, and it's just one of the worst days. We all are going to have troubles and problems in our lives, but we have to decide if we're just going to deal with them and let them defeat us, or if we're going to search for help and guidance and allow God to help us through these times. Mark said a couple weeks ago that being a Christian doesn't mean we're immune to struggles in life, but being a Christian does help us deal with them. So we're going to go through the Bible and look at some examples of people that went through difficulties. And first we're going to go to Job. So turn with me to Job chapter 1. I'll be reading from verses 13 through 22. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and made off with them. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Job just had a really bad day, because before today, he was a very wealthy man. He was blessed beyond belief. We know he had livestock and servants, and he had a nice family. And then they just go away one after the other. And after every time a servant comes, it says that while that servant is still telling Job the bad news, another one comes with even more bad news. And it's just an avalanche of tragedy for Job. And we can see his agony in verse 20 when he gets up and tears his clothes and shaves his head. Job lost everything in a matter of a day. But then in verse 20 it also says he fell to the ground in worship and he didn't charge God with wrongdoing. Somehow throughout all this tragedy, Job was able to still worship God and keep his mind focused on God. And this was able to help him deal with it. But then if we go ahead to chapter 2, we're going to see that his wife was not able to deal with it with such grace. Verses 7 through 9 read, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, 'Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die.'" Job's wife wanted to blame God for all the struggles her husband was going through and believed that the tragedy meant that he had fallen out of favor with God. And this was the first time that Satan had attacked Job physically to himself, as he has sores all over his body. And his wife was basically saying, "It's over for you, curse God and die." And obviously that's not very supportive of Job and probably didn't make him feel any better. But it also shows exactly how we should not deal with tragedy. When tragedy comes, we can't use God as an excuse or blame him or use him as a scapegoat. But we should do what Job did earlier and rely on God to guide us through those difficult times. And a character that did that later in the Bible is King David. So if you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel, I'll first be in chapter 19, verses 8 through 10. Once more, war broke out, and David went out and fought the Philistines. He struck them with such force that they fled before him. But an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. While David was playing the lyre, Saul tried to pin him to the wall with his spear, but David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. That night, David made good his escape. Let's step in David's shoes for a second here. Saul was a man who David loved. Saul was David's mentor. He was the king of Israel. And David was off being successful, winning battles, playing the lyre for Saul, and then all of a sudden, his mentor just tries to kill him. And you can imagine the physical and emotional stress David was going through. Because first of all, one of his friends just tried to kill him. He felt betrayed. He was going through difficult things. And then on top of that, he has to now go and live in the wilderness and try and hide and basically run for his life. And a couple chapters later, we're going to see how David is able to keep his trust in God, and it's able to guide him through this time. In chapter 24, we all know the story of David and Saul in the cave. Saul's still out there chasing David, and David's just trying to stay alive. And Saul wanders into this cave where David and his men happen to be. And in verse 4, it reads, "The men of David said, 'This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.' Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe." So there it's saying that God was still watching out for David and put Saul in the position so that David could get rid of all his troubles and end it all right there. And David only went up and cut off a corner of his robe. And in verse 5 it reads, "Afterward David was conscience-stricken for cutting off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, 'The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord.'" Now, this doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to us, because this was God putting David in the perfect opportunity to escape his problems. But David made it clear that he was not saving Saul because of Saul. He was saving Saul because he thought it would be what was right in the sight of God. We saw in verse 6, he emphasized that he would not touch Saul because he was the anointed of the Lord. He was the man that God chose to lead his people. And David was able to keep God in the forefront of his mind and rely on him that no matter what happened to him, God was always going to be with him. And we all know the 23rd Psalm written by David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, and in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm is something that David clearly lived by. Because even when he was going through hard times, and he was being chased by his mentor, and living in the wilderness on the run for his life, even though he was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he had nothing to fear because he kept his eyes focused on God and he used God to guide him through these difficulties. Rather than blaming God for his problems like Job's wife did, David was able to put his trust in God and use God as a rock that would help him through his hard times. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life? Now, in this passage, Jesus is telling us that we really have nothing to be worried about throughout our life. And I know it's talking about material things, and it's talking about instances in which you need money to survive and things like that. But the main point of this passage is that God is always going to be there to provide for us. Even when we're going through difficulties, he is going to give us what we need to make it through that. This is why David was able to cope with everything he was going through, because he knew that God would be there to provide for him and help him. And then we go to John chapter 16, the passage Tyler read earlier. And it reads, "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." I really want to focus on the last verse of that passage. Jesus is telling us right then and there that we're going to have problems in life, and they might not be easy to deal with. But Jesus is also assuring us and trying to give us peace, because he's telling us that even though there's all these troubles in life, he's overcome them, and that through him, we can also overcome them. Because Jesus knew what it was like to go through troubles. He came down to the world and lived as flesh among us, and he was persecuted and dealt with so many things. But at the end, we all know what happened. Jesus went up on the cross and conquered evil once and for all. So Jesus overcame evil with his sacrifice. And because of that sacrifice, we will one day be gone from this world and onto better things. And we won't have to deal with the troubles and tribulation and the tears and sorrow, because we will be up in heaven with him. Matthew chapter 6 reads, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." We know that despite all the problems we're going to face in this world, all the sickness, all the difficulties we're going to have, Jesus has a better place prepared for us one day. So if there's two things I really wanted to take away from this morning, is that even though we're going to have tough things in life, if we keep Jesus as our rock and keep our mindset to be following him, then he's going to be there for us and help guide us through those times. And we also have to keep the mindset that it's all going to be gone one day, and we're going to be up in heaven with Jesus, where we won't have tears or troubles or heartache. And Jesus has overcome all the evil of this world, and it's all going to be good one day. So Jesus has set aside the gift for us by dying on the cross. And the gift is for all of us. But in order to receive it, we must first believe and be baptized. So if you want to receive the gift of the gospel and be baptized, or if you have the needs of the church you would like to express, please come forward as we stand and sing. 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 As we stand and sing.